You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
It is a rainy. More rainy for some people, depending on what area of the city you are in. We are live with LA Talk Radio, so I hope everyone can hear me out there. How are my beautiful kindreds? How is everyone? How are all of you? Lots going on. Now, we prayed for rain, so now we have rain. Let's not all complain about that it's not the way we want it to be and it's not this and that. We asked for it. Obviously, we need some cleansing of some sort. So I'm going to go with what Mama and the heavens are wanting to do today. I don't know what else we can do. So hope everybody is warm and all tucked inside and getting some work done. And if you don't have any work to do, finding something that is relaxing. So I looked under the definition of water. The definition is that it is a transparent, odorless, liquid that forms lakes, seas, oceans, and rain. And it is also the basis of all fluids and responsible for all fluids in the human body, which is important. So we kind of go hand in hand with some of the elements that we definitely have, that fire element. And now we have some water. So I guess I'll do some cleansing. Local shout out to Simply Raw is my girl Charity. It is a dog, all natural dog and dog food company. And so she makes everything raw and natural. So all the dog foods are raw meat that's dehydrated. It is very good. My dog is very temperamental about food and I give him raw natural food and kind of warm it up. So he took to some of her things. So I told her I want to give a shout out to her. And then drum roll for our wonderful, undeniable, great person, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker. He is a certified senior probate and real estate expert specialist at Coldwell Banker. He can be reached at 818-571-1508. 818-571-1508. Coldwell Banker's own Kevin Pike. A lovely person to know. Very on the job. And we'll take care of whatever kind of needs, whatever kind of situation you're in. He will take care of you. We are not having a guest today. It is by choice because on occasion, I like to address different things. I am very careful about what I talk about, how I choose to talk about it. To be honest with you, I get so bored and tired of the same old rhetoric and everyone's opinion about what's going on in the White House, what's not going on in the White House, what's going on in the world, this, that, and the other. And we all must remember that as adults and as mature people, no matter what the stage of life we are in, we have to also use common sense and our own common sense to kind of, you know, measure what we may think is happening, what's being fed to us about what's happening and what is actually happening. So I know lately, I don't really know a lot about politics. It's people in my family were in politics at one point in time, and I was in it when I was real, real young. I think I talk about it in my book. I was the junior president of the NAACP here in Northern California. I had to be about in my 20s for sure. It was a huge responsibility. I met Jesse Jackson. I met a lot of people. And when I walked in and I saw the kind of industry and the field of the kind of career it was, it just didn't fit me as a personality. I am you know, I don't have enough greed. I don't have enough drive. I don't have enough whatever it takes to go in there and fight the fight and do the cause. I am better doing that on an individual level and certainly on a much more spiritual level. That's what I've devoted my life to, studying metaphysics. So that when you guys, when I come on air and I'm doing commentaries and I tend to talk about Buddhism and spiritual matters and those things, it's because I devoted my life to developing myself as an individual. It is a lot of work. I would suggest that each of us, each person, if we were to devote ourselves to the law of causality, which is Buddhism in its orthodox form, it's not devoting yourself to a religion, but devoting yourself to a way of living that will provide happiness in the long run. So usually man-made things don't lead to happiness. They are unclear. Some of them are distorted even. I mean, look at our society. So we ask for change. And when change comes, we're still not happy. I don't know what change looks like, but I've lived long enough to know that when change does happen, it is never pretty. It never looks like the way it's supposed to look, depending on what's changing, how it's changing, who's changing it, who, all the people involved that are working with the change, a part of the change. But I will say that each of us as an individual can be a part of the change. We can be a part of the change by seeing how we can be better human beings. I mean, come on, common sense. If you're walking around with hate in your heart for anyone, I don't care if it's the dog and the cat because they meow or they bark next door, for anything, hate, any holistic doctor, I don't know about the other doctors, conventional, because I tend to, most of my life I've spent dealing with holistic practitioners, they will tell you that hate is a low vibration. In Buddhist thought, in law of causality, it comes in the lower world of anger, the condition of anger that leads to a hellish life condition. So it's people that you see in road rage and they're always mad no matter what happens. Somebody can give them something. They can't even receive the gift because they're in a condition of anger or a condition of hellish, a hellish state. Those 10 worlds we talk about, hell, hunger, anger. Hunger is a world of constant greed, constant wanting things, even though you already have something. So I have a car, I need another car. And then I have that, I need another one and another one. And it's never satisfying. It never leads to anything but hunger. Like you're constantly I want, I desire. And usually those kind of things lead us to not so good circumstances in our external worlds. They are internal processes that when reflected back in our external world, show up physically as either negative influences or an external appearance of something negative, or if it's positive, something we've done good, it's positive. But from what I can see, there's a lot of negative causes that we've made. Everything looks to be in jumbles. You know, I don't know why. I've always said this. I think it's impossible to make one person responsible for a whole country. You know, and certainly if that one person is a self-willed run riot, if that one person is a spiritual being, whatever the character, the basic character of the person or the people that we choose to put in offices, it will show up and it will shine out. So if inside, internally, the person is angry or they are greedy or they're hungry or they're enraged or they are an intellectual, maybe somebody that has a high level of realization. I don't know too many people that are conscious enough to understand the law of causality. I know people that practice, we, you know, devote ourselves to this law. of causality, of cause and effect. But I don't know anyone that is not practicing that law or that doesn't understand that law and doesn't operate within the realms and restrictions or regulations of that law that has ended up very good. So a lot of times, you know, our own minds will lead us to hell. It's like somebody really thinks maybe when they start in a situation, maybe when we start, our intentions are very pure. You know, we want the best things for everyone. We want this and that. But then there are the desires and the demonic temptations and all the things that make up us as being a human, desire, temptation. You want more. This is prettier. That's prettier. This is better. That's better. Whatever all of those things are, at the end of the day, we can really mess ourselves up. And I think and feel that unless we are acting in an enlightened manner, meaning that we are conscious and we are aware of our actions, we know that if we do this, it would start a war. We know if we don't do that, it would make crops grow better. We know we do this, and still some of us, in whatever positions we may occupy in life, choose to do the wrong thing. And that's when we get into trouble and the law of causality steps in. So we were never to have tsunamis, if we were never to have fires, things that go out of warp, we'd never change. We would not do it. Tell me I'm lying. I dare anybody out there to tell me I'm lying. As long as things go okay and everything's hunky-dory and everything's wonderful and happy, you know, nobody's going to change. Nothing's going to change. Change has to come with chaos, whether it's organized chaos, disorganized chaos, whatever it is, it has got to change. And so when we ask for change and we don't get change in the way we think change is, and we're still in an uproar about, oh, well, what's going on and this is happening and that's happening. But let me ask you a question. Why would we think that things were going to stay the same forever? When we know, even if we don't live forever, time constantly is in movement and will inevitably cause change. Time itself, inevitably. That's why when we were little kids, we went into being bigger kids and then teens and then eventually older teens and then young adults and then maybe not so young adults and then old adults, depending on how one looks at themselves and how one views chronological age. You know, that's another myth, in my opinion, is the thing about age and aging. I will say this to what my mother used to tell us, and I say this to young people all the time, especially people out there that we do. I was like that when I was like 19. I felt deep because I was studying metaphysics and all my friends were drinking and they were unhappy and a lot of them were trying to do suicide. I didn't start studying metaphysics until after I got to the point where I started thinking about suicide and thinking about why am I here and why do I want to be here? This is messed up. These people are on evil. I mean, I was, I had come out of Christianity a long time ago because I just didn't see anyone around me or saw anything that I was engaged in that caused me to think that it was an ultimate thing that I wanted to practice. In addition to that, I really don't like judging. You know, I like letting people and allowing people to grow and evolve as much as I can, unless it's somebody that's so dark and there's energy so discordant that you're guided to move oneself away from that kind of distorted energy. But unless that, I'm pretty much let people be who they want to be. If you think you want to be the Prince of Montion or the Goddess of the Skies, go right ahead. Whether it will bring you happiness or not, I don't know. That's not for me to say. But I can attest to the fact that there are things that if practiced correctly will bring an absolute state of being. I've witnessed them. I'm a practitioner of them. I know what I'm talking about. There's, you know, I think we've all gotten used to suffering and thinking that that's a part. I really, it disturbs me. That's why I say to myself a lot. It disturbs me when I hear people say, well, you know, you're going to die with something. Or, you know, I'm so-and-so years old and you got this. That is not true. It's not true. It is true that the body, like any other piece of machine or equipment, if not taken care of properly, will break down just like a car. A car has an engine in the body. It's the heart. A car has tubes and things that go into the body. Those are your arteries, your kidneys, all of those big plugs and everything that's in a car. If we would think of our bodies as the same kind of machinery and as the same kind of robotic systems that we look as like we look at any other piece of machinery, maybe we would think about it differently. And certainly if we understood the law of causality, knowing that if we do certain things to the body, it's going to act like this. It's going to feel like this. It's going to look like this. You know, my mother used to tell us, you know, your body is your temple and, you know, and you should take care of it. The body is a temple of the spirit. That's what the spiritual teachings say. Then why do we do to the body what our clouded and distorted minds dictate? So the reason the mind is back in there, again, if the mind, you know, is not clear and the mind is in a crooked state, then the body would be in a crooked state. If the mind is in a, you know, like they say, if the internal body is crooked, then the external body is going to be crooked and it's going to give a certain kind of appearance. So again, I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know what he does in a day-to-day. All I know is what I read in the news, you know, everybody that's in the news, him, Elon Musk, everyone else. If I had to go, I don't know them personally. They could be nothing like the news projects them. I don't know. All I can do is try, as most people do, use intelligence to make common sense of what's happening. If I don't understand what's happening, try to find out what's happening and do that like everybody else in a lot of praying. And so I don't know. Again, I'm a chanter. I like sound and vibration to me is on a whole nother platform versus words. Although words do possess energy, you know, but there's a difference in a small vacuum cleaner that will suck up a little bit of dust than a big one that, you know, takes on a whole building, you know, in a 2,500 square feet room. You know, that's how I akin what we do in terms of what I believe in and some other belief systems is that if I needed to knock down some really heavy walls, I would not use a hammer. I'll probably use a batarang, you know, another kind of equipment that is much more efficient and much more adept at taking care of things and solving obstacles and ridding oneself of problems. One thing I tell you that is, for me, it took years and years to steady my mind. You know, we talk about things like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to do this, but number one, I'm a military person. I am a Vietnam era vet. I am proud of it. There were times I was not proud of being a vet. I was ashamed of being a vet because of what happened to me in the military. But years later, after I really understand what I did and the kind of legacy and the kind of things that I was exposed to by being exposed to, by being exposed to the security of the land. The armed forces are the security of the land. The Navy protects the waters and the seas. I'm a Navy girl, a wave. You know, the Army, the land, the ground, the Air Force, the airs, you know, and the Marines, they go on there and they're on the land and they, you know, they make sure that everything is going to be taken care of and that we stay safe. So we must understand that when we start messing around with the security of the land, oh, and then we all kind of have to figure out how am I going to protect myself, then we can only assess there might be a bit of chaos involved in that. But back to what I was talking about, steadying the mind. So our minds, this is my opinion, and from practicing over 44 years a different philosophy, our minds can be developed to be so resilient. And that mind stemming from a pure heart, because the heart can be developed too, from a cowardly heart to a nasty, dark heart to a, you know, even a more beautiful heart if you've got a kind, compassionate, and loving heart that I like to feel that I'm working towards. It's not there, but I've got some elements. Then that's going to come. That heart is going to stem into the mind. And so the mind is going to act upon whatever that heart dictates. So if that heart is, like I said, an angry heart, that heart is going to do things that are angry or things that are wounded. Maybe the heart was wounded as a child and it never got over the wound or never healed from the wound. And then the mind is carrying the imprint of that wound, that open wound. And there you have it. You have a person out here or people out here doing distorted things based on distorted information, based on distorted viewpoints, and their lives are going to appear to be distorted. Again, whether we want to acknowledge gravity or not, I dare any one of you to go out there and stand on top of a building and jump off. And therein, you will experience the law of gravity. Same thing with the law of causality. It might operate differently for each individual depending on one's intention. Let's just say someone is naive and they're just naive. They don't know any better. Maybe their world is not full of chaos. And they, because I know I do, I live a pretty peaceful internal life. It wasn't always like that. It took me years and still working at it to develop my heart to be resilient enough that when obstacles and issues arise, I'm not backed up by them. I'm not frightened by them. I've had people very, very close to me pass away. And, you know, because I am, because I practice the law of causality in Buddhist practice, I understand death and dying. It doesn't freak me out. It doesn't mean I don't grieve, but my grieving is not based on, oh my gosh, you know, I cannot live any longer. Somebody else has died. You know, I'm not. We learn to stay attached healthily to, in a healthy way to things. But we also learn how to exercise common sense and know that life is a continuous cycle, and that in the right circumstances, life appears. So I always find it interesting in winter when everything seems dead. I mean, I've watched trees literally seem dead in the winter. So let's just say I'm a 6-year-old kid and I don't know anything about science. And I walk outside and I see a tree with no leaves on it. I'm like, or everything is barren. I'm like, oh my gosh, everything is dead. But let's just say when it gets hot and the temperature gets right and the sun does what it's supposed to do, the air does what it's supposed to do, all the elements are working in conjunction with each other, then wow, there the tree has flowers. The birds are chirping. They have their little seasonal intention, their little vibe they get. It's time you can come out now. Everything's right. Well, we concur that that same system operates within the human sphere, that we literally look as if we're dying. And we do. We drop the body. The body is a physical thing. So if you notice, when the physical thing is gone, there's no more appearance of an internal existence. There's no more entity within the body of the person. So that's what we call death. And the way I've learned is that that's a healthy part. You know, I mean, I really don't want to live forever. You know, you get tired at some point, depending on what demands are made on your life, on your time and your energy, what you choose to believe, what paths you choose to run down, you know, and things like that. We get tired. And so I would think that at the time we pass away, unless it's something, what do you say, before it's time or something that happens, the contract ends opposed to. That's what I like to say. It's a contract. It's a contract we've made with our lives. Like, look, I'm going to live to a certain time. I'm going to sign. In the other life, I said I was going to live blah, 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 blah. We make all these causes with our mouths and think that there is nothing that happens, but cause and effect is mouth, thinking, doing, action. And whether the thoughts are revealed or they're internalized, they are still actions. We're still putting energy into them. So, you know, for those people that think they've done things behind the wall and nobody can see, that's just not true. My mother used to say there's two angels on your shoulder. One is marking what you've done bad, and the other marks what you've done good. And at the end of your life, you sit there and they say, okay, let's weigh out. Did you know you were doing bad and you did bad anyway? Mm-mm. You gonna get it. And then let's see. Oh, well, you know, you didn't really know any better. So we get, you know, but we still told you and you chose to do that anyway. So you won't get a this. You're going to get a pow like that. I know. I've had those pows. Wake the hell up. What do you think you're doing? Where did that get you? Hell, that's where it got you. No matter what that may be, it could be from eating bad food to doing drugs that you know you're supposed to be doing, to drinking you know you're supposed to be doing, to overdoing things you know, sex, all of those things can be addictions that can lead us to hell. They can lead to a state of hell. Hunger. The more you do, the more you want. The more you do, the more you want. The more you do. And those are the things that exist within the being we call being a human. So again, we ask for change. And when change doesn't look like we think it does, then, you know, everything's in a tizzy then. We're all upset because things aren't looking the way they're supposed to. So there is a term that's called Shiki Shin Fumi. It's called the oneness of body and mind. And what it means is that our material selves, our skin, nails, hair, teeth, everything that makes up our physical external appearance, and our internal selves, which is your guts and your arteries and your big organs and your small organs, the adrenals, people forget about those. Kidneys, liver, bladder, you know, your heart, all of the things that are the major, major organs. And you have the bones and all of that whole system. Then we have the endocrinal system, all the blood and all of those things make up our bodies, our internal cells. So one reason is that we can wake up every day and unless we are sick or our bodies are out of harmony with our minds and we've contracted a disease, that body and that mind move as one. That means the material and spiritual are one entity. We're not separate. There's no separation. And I know that a lot of us have been taught that something out there is controlling everything. And from the life I live in, and I would not tell you this unless I looked you. And when I say I love you, it means I like and love you at the same time. For those who I personally know, I like you and I love you. And that's why I love you. For those I don't know, who I do know in spirit, I like you and I love you. And that means I love you. And I cannot take credit for that term that came from a longtime friend of mine that I hold dear in my heart, Victor Wimbish. He used to say, I love you. That means I like you and I love you. So I thought that was a very good thing. And I like giving people their flowers. I wouldn't dare, you know, say that I said something and it wasn't me that said it, because I didn't. And usually when I say something, it'll be mine. It'll be something that only I would have said. And I don't have to steal it from anyone. I don't have to copy it. I have my own creativity. And my mind has been quite developed into some things since I've been a chanter and chanting Namajiringa Kill. You know, it's been developed. And so it's a little scary sometimes, because sometimes depending on the state of life one is in when they decide, or when we decide to take upon ourselves certain kinds of spiritual teachings and practices, you can blow yourself. You know, you just start growing so fast, and then you got to worry about arrogance, and then you have to worry about your ego getting out of control. Then we got to worry about, okay, or, you know, are we going to stay fair? If, you know, should something happen to me? If I got a big bunch of money at one time, what would happen to me? Would my ego blow up? Wow, now I'm a big person. I'm better than everybody. I'm ruling. I'm driving. I can do better than anybody else. You know, or does one stay humble? Like Kendrick said, sit down or be humble. Sit down. Be humble. I think that more people would be to the first thing. All of a sudden, they're a big person. Well, you know what I found out about doing that? I've lost a lot of friends that were millionaires, had a lot of money, a lot of people around them that said they loved them, and died lonely. Nobody around them, because by the time they got old, everybody else had died. How about that? Wow. That's a reality kick in the face. And none of us ever want to think that we're going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die. So I would think the best thing to do for us would be to live the kind of life that when our time comes, whenever that is, that could be 100 years from now, 2 days from now, 1 hour from now, who knows, that we will have lived the kind of life that should it happen to us, we have a smile on face. Like, look, I did good. I don't feel mad at nobody. I'm not angry. I don't go to bed at night with some heavy burden on my head because I've done the wrong things and guilt is killing me and the ancestors are beating my butt, you know, because I've done something that I know was wrong and did it anyway. My mother used to say, boy, you know, when I was younger, and you know how all of us, we're young and we get our butts up in the air like, you don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me what to do. I am grown. I'm grown. Well, I found out that grown is in stages. And just because somebody is 66 or 67, or just because somebody is 27, does not make us grown. It makes us 27, and it makes us 67, or 66, or 56, or whatever that is. So I like what my mother used to say to me when I would get my butt up high in the air and think I'm going to tell somebody something about what they know and what they're going to do. And it is, like I started out saying, when I was younger and I first got into metaphysics, I thought I was the shit. Nobody else was doing it. I was Black. I was cool. You know, and I was hanging out with people that were the highest of the industry. They were the highest of the, you know, the philosophical people, you know, they were the highest in the spiritual realms of teaching and esoteric beliefs and exoteric belief systems. You know, I read the book of Urantia. I went to the, you know, to all the Ramp the Speaks. This was somebody that I think I mentioned it on a personal interview I did with the show. Shout out to Sam Decker. Sam Devar for having me on the Sam Devar show, D-E-V-A-R show. And I think I mentioned that, but I was into all of these cool things. And then when I went into the military, I was into, you know how Dochi says, she says, and I think it's interesting because a lot of people are like, what is she talking about? Well, when you're young, you think like that. That's what tells me she's young. Because as you grow older, your life is supposed to change. Your brain is supposed to become more involved. The mind is supposed to develop into something healthier than scratching your butt and out doing drugs and hanging out and all that. That's what goes with youth. And some people are young enough that they become very, very conscious when they're young. So they understand the importance of spirituality. But when you're young and your ego is open and you're being exposed to things you've never seen before, never felt before, things are being tingled, itched, scratched in ways that you cannot fathom unless those things are happening to you, that it's hard to resist. And if you there is resistance, you don't fit in. Or, you know, you start chasing fame and fortune, which we're told not to do. Fame and fortune can be like a noose around your neck. Because once you're not there, and then you go down there, and you have to operate down there, and then you have to keep going up there, because whatever you land up there, they keep telling you, go there again. Reach that point. Reach that point. Reach that point where every time your album is not going to be number one. Every time the music is not going to be number one. One day somebody else is going to be a number one. One day somebody else is going to come along. Then we run the risk of how much can you handle on the demands of your life, your spirit. Because every day we wake up and we give to those things, to fame, fortune, the demands, pleasing other people. It bleeds us out. It takes little bits and pieces of our life force and our life. So that one day when you wake up, you're 80-something years old, or you live to be 90-something years old. If you did it in a balanced way, you're going to do good. You might have some money. You may, in a good way, think to find something to do that's healthy, will bring happiness, will, you know, not hurt other people and things like that. Those kind of people got to smile. I mean, that's why I'm smiling. And when I smile, it doesn't mean my life is perfect. I got all kind of stuff going on. A husband, you know, stuff going on with other people's stuff that I don't know anything about. You know, my, you know, thinking about my own family, my friends. And the reason I say, just for clarity's sake, in case you hear another part of me talking on an interview that was maybe longer than this one or shorter than this one or whatever, we only have so much amount of time to talk. And so usually when people are talking out loud, you're going in, you know, you're saying a little bit of this, you're saying a little bit of that. So not all the time for those intelligent enough to understand. And I don't mean just intellectual. I mean emotionally, spiritually intelligent. Then you know there's only so much time we can give in a certain kind of space. And so for clarification's sake, again, Buddhism, Orthodox Buddhism, which is the Buddhism from Siddhartha in India, the original place where Buddhism started, does not believe in astrology, psychic work. All of those things are considered to be heretical. That's what I was told. So if I talk and when I talk about those things, I've been interested in those things since I was a child. Which leads me to believe that as an individual, those are my personal interests, which I am entitled to. Now, whether or not I make those things my object of worship is a whole other thing. I don't worship astrology. Astrology has its place. You know, it's fun to know. It's entertaining. I think it can give you a lot of information about yourself, depending on who you get information from, which is important, who taught you. You know, who's teaching you these things? Did you read them in a book? Have you experienced them? You know, if you live long enough, you can kind of understand a little bit about yourself. But again, most people don't bother to learn about themselves because everything is external. So we're taught in Buddhism to practice for oneself and practice for others. By becoming a happy person inside, I can affect another person, make them happy. So when I smile, I'm smiling because I do feel happy. And I do. A lot of people think it's like, it is. I feel, especially when I have to come on camera and interact with other people like you people out there. I do. I feel a sense of Shiki Shin Funi, the oneness of body and mind, where I feel one with you, even though I know, I don't know who's watching me. I don't know any of you. I try to ignore that anyone is watching me at all and just try to understand that I'm, you know, I'm basically in a room talking on a screen to whoever's listening out there. So I hope that you are being entertained, but I find astrology, all those things, they are entertaining to me. They're fun to me. But do I not move them and make them go to them for my problems? You can't do that because there won't be any, you can't solve them. Even though a psychic person may be able to advise you, say, yeah, you know what? I think if you stop drinking, which is common sense, more, you might not have the problem of having a bad liver and maybe not be scared you're going to die any moment. You know, they're common sense things. And I think sometimes in some cases, again, depending on whoever you're listening to, whether that's a therapist or a psych, a counselor, whoever is ordained to give you advice. In some people's cases, it's their priest, their minister, their preacher, whoever's your mama, your daddy, your grandparents, whoever's in a position of authority that you feel you have sound reason and they give sound reason and then you can see actual proof. In other words, what they taught you or said to you, you can make reason of, and there is something that can make sense of, and you see actual proof. There has been a change, an actual physical change that not only you can see, everybody else can see too. So again, let's give a shout out to our sponsor. We're getting close to closing time. Kevin Pike, senior certified probate and real estate specialist of Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Kevin, I am so proud to know you and thank you for supporting me and all of the people out there that have known me for a long time. If you're out there, thank you for believing in me because I wouldn't be sitting here if it weren't for you encouraging me, including, you know, the people at my temple and everywhere else all over the world that I've met and we've encouraged each other and we've talked and you've told me that people have come back to me years later and tell me how I encouraged them when they were at their lowest point. I didn't even know they're at a low point. I'm just like being myself, being optimistic. Come on. If you're going to spend some energy, you might as well spend it being optimistic. Don't forget, I love you. I like and I love you. And come on my channel on YouTube. Like and share the content. I've been making content a long time, since 2012, before it was even popular to make content. So go to my channel. You'd be surprised at some of the people that I've met and talked to from all over the world. Also, I can be reached at IG is Osiris_Munir_thepainter. Website, Express. inabstractword.net and our wonderful blog, which tells all of my YouTube stories and all of the people I've interviewed in chronological order, no doubt, is Ankh, like the Egyptian A-N-K-H, the word entertainment, and the word one.net. Giving a shout out to Sam Hassan at LA Talk Radio. Thank you for always supporting me and supporting all of the hosts at LA Talk Radio and giving us a platform to keep you entertained, keep you informed. There's a lot of information out there. Like I said, I don't, it's enough rhetoric about the presidency, what they're doing, what they're not doing. I try to stay away from all that. I try to stay in the vibe of peace and harmony and what can create world peace for all of us. That's just where I am. Any of us could spend hours and hours talking about how negative and how screwed up things are and what they ain't and what they used to be and all that. But it doesn't matter because the reality is that they are where they are. And are we going to deal with it and ship shaped and make ourselves beautiful, wonderful beings that can handle anything? We're resilient. You know, we are steadfast in what we believe in. And so far, my intuition and what I believe and my faith has never led me astray. And like my mother, which I will say again, which she used to say to me, and Mama, thank you, because I, you know, didn't understand what you were trying to teach me. But at this stage in life, girl, I am using every bit of that wisdom and that knowledge. But she used to say, when I thought I was all high and mighty, remember I was telling you guys I thought I was all high and mighty, and my butt up in the air, and I thought I knew something. You know, you don't tell me what to do, even to the point where I think I spent about 8 years traveling and never went back home. After I went into the military out of high school, I had to wait to turn 17 to go into the Navy. And after I turned 17, I never looked back. So it's going to be very hard for me to meet people in life and for people to think they're going to tell me what to do and how to be when I am my own. I developed my life from the ground up, thanks to my metaphysical practices, which led me into Buddhism and that faith and that realistic common sense thinking about how life really is versus the way I thought it was supposed to be, and certainly how I thought it was supposed to be according to Osiris's Chronicle orders. Thank you. Because I wouldn't have made it. I'd be all worn out and tuckered out. Even if I had made it, I'd be like, I'm on my last leg. You know, I can't possibly make it any further. But I'm still full of vigor and high spirits and lots of optimism and looking forward to a bright future. And again, back to what my mother used to say. I've already been where you are. You've yet to get to where I am. Again, I've already been where you are. You've yet to get to where I am. And I'll leave you with that. Thank you, LA Talk Radio. Thank you out there. I love you, love you, love you. Don't forget to support us on YouTube. Come back, see us, and I'll do my best to keep you entertained. We'll have some guests coming up later in the month, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye. Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.